Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
We're continuing to litigate in California and elsewhere. In California, believe it or not, you still cannot worship in a church or in your home with someone who doesn't live there. It's a criminal offense to do so. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Now, we've been litigating this issue for over 6 months in California, and since July 13, worship has been banned inside of a church. In-person worship has been banned for most of California. Now, it includes about 99.9% of California. And our church, the main one, but we represent others as well, Harvest Rock Church in Pasadena, with multiple campuses in that general area, and then over 100 churches through Harvest International Ministry throughout California. For our churches, they haven't been able to worship in person without having criminal threats. Now, they have just simply moved forward in those situations with safety protocols and worship. But each day, they face criminal charges and daily fines of $1,000.
But yet in the same building, they can help people, they can counsel them for jobs, they can feed them, they can shelter them. But the moment it becomes spiritual, religious, devotion, preaching, worship, anything like that, the whole scenario changes.
Yeah, and you know, most people get it now on the various emails that we send out on these issues, but we still have a few people that come back and say, but I can worship online. For those that are in California, I can worship online. Well, don't take refuge in the fact that you can worship online, because several reasons. One, obviously, that's your choice, but the government should never make that a mandate, an edict for everyone. Secondly, some people don't have the access to the internet or the high-speed capability or even the vehicle to be able to transmit, the smartphone, the smart tablet. Moreover, online is no substitute for in-person worship. Let me just give you a story. This is a true story of a young man in his early 20s. I came to know him through our ministry in which we take Christian college-age students to Israel. And in his testimony, he stated that he entered a difficult time of his life. It was a time where he got depressed, and he was thinking about ending his life. And he decided that he was going to end it one morning. And he had it all planned out. And on the way to end his life, he stopped in a church. This was before the COVID restrictions, and this church was open. Stopped in a church, and he walked inside. And when he was there, a man saw this young man, and the Lord must have been speaking to this man's heart that this man, this young man that just walked into the church, needed a hug. So this older gentleman walked up to this young man, who I was able to travel with to Israel, by the way, walked up to this young man and didn't say a single word. He placed his arms around him and he hugged him. That's all he did. Not a single word. To this day, this young, early 20-something young man does not know who this person was that came and hugged him. No word, no other exchange, other than the fact that that hug changed this young man's life. And his next step, his next appointment, was he was stopping into this church, and from there he was going to end his life. And that one hug changed this young man's life forever.
Well, and that's the power of human touch.
That is.
It's what God created us for, each other to interact, to touch.
And you cannot do that online.
Right.
You would not know that this young man even exists. You couldn't change that young man's direction by sending a thumbs up if he reached out for help. Thumbs up or a heart or some kind of like to his response. You wouldn't even know that he's viewing, perhaps. Now, I know God can work in all different kinds of ways. God is incredibly powerful beyond our human capability. But I can tell you what, God also designed us to be able to fellowship, and that is intrinsic part of who we are.
And hence why he himself came to earth to be among us.
To live with us, to actually encamp with us.
Exactly.
To stay
How important it is.
To put the tent of human flesh
right.
on his body to become fully human. And to live exactly in a way that humans live, to be hungry, to be thirsty, to bleed when you cut, to have pain, to, you know, be exhausted.
To hug, to lay hands on someone.
And that's what he did. What he, you know, Jesus is often, he's called by his critics the King James will use the word drunkard and a wine bibber. Now, he wasn't a drunkard. There's no evidence of that in the scriptures. But what he did do is he frequently fellowshiped together through meals, mm-hmm. where they would have long meals, they would lie down on their side, they would have a meal, and Jesus would communicate and he would teach. You go look at how much Jesus interacted with people, so much so that his critics said, well, he's eating with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus liked that fellowship because he created us for fellowship. And this young man's life was changed because he was in the presence of another person who God laid on that man's heart that this young man needed a hug. He needed some support.
The whole phrase, being the hands and feet of Jesus, literally.
Yeah, so don't take refuge first that you can just worship online. That's an extension. It's not a replacement. It's an extension of being able to get the word out, but it's not a replacement. And moreover, the government shouldn't be telling you that that's your only option to worship online, especially like in California where you have 29 single-space pages of exemptions that can have all these other kinds of in-person congregate activity, hundreds and hundreds of subcategories that are permitted to operate, but churches have been banned since July 13 for most of the state of California and now 99.9% of California. So we're continuing to litigate there. We're waiting on a decision from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal on our emergency injunction, which I argued at the very first work day of January. And then we also just recently filed our merits brief, a long brief, because we have two tracks, the emergency track and also the other track, and we're moving forward in both tracks at the Court of Appeals. So we'll get a ruling in the near future. But also don't take refuge in the fact that you can worship online. One, I've already said it's not an adequate substitute. But number two, you think that churches are going to be immune and pastors are going to be immune from censorship? You know, for example, the social media. Amazon, for example, is the largest book-selling entity in the world. And in 2020, Amazon removed Christian and other pro-family books that had a viewpoint that you can change unwanted same-sex attractions. They removed all those books. And Facebook and Instagram removed organizations that provide help and resources and counsel for people seeking to change unwanted same-sex attractions. Now, your church pastor preaches on that subject matter, freedom in Christ. Maybe has a testimony of somebody who has literally been transformed by the power of Jesus Christ and have overcome these unwanted attractions. Now, if Facebook and Instagram are removing those from their platforms and Amazon is removing these kinds of messages from its book-selling platform, what is it to say that they're not going to do the same thing to pastors who speak on the same subject matter? So you get comfortable and saying, well, we can worship online. Well, don't get so comfortable with that, because once they throw you out of the church and they say you can't come here because it's so dangerous, but we can have all these other things like liquor stores and abortion clinics and big box centers and you name it, because those are essential, but churches are not, and you all can worship online or maybe in your parking lot. By the way, parking lot. Where is a home church going to worship? Out in the yard? Because many churches not only start, but they stay as home churches. But in California, it's illegal to have a home church with anybody who's not there. Where's a storefront church going to worship? Out in front of the grocery store on a Sunday morning when people are driving in and out to get their groceries? They don't have a parking lot. You think sometimes of your own situation, of your church with an established building and a parking lot and your online device, and it's okay for you, so it should be okay for everybody else. Think outside of your box a little bit. And that's what we're doing, litigating these cases, making sure that religious freedom remains free. Defending the churches is the foundation of defending our republic. The most important thing you can do to defend our republic is to defend the churches. I encourage you to go to our website, Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org. Pray for our cases, not only on churches, but so many other topics as well. But this is a huge battle that we're facing across the country. We're making a lot of headway, but we still have to move forward in these courts. lc.org, that's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.